It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share a common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hey there, welcome back. We missed you. Did you miss us? I hope so. We missed Mr. Scott Connor. Scott, how you doing?
Terrific.
All right, Scott's here.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Drink a little water so I don't start doing my Jerry Seinfeld impression again.
Yeah, well, we had...
What are your impressions about the market?
we had, you know, we're coming off a pretty rough week last week. Mm. Worst week of the year. The trade on Monday, the Dow down 130 points, although it was quite a bit worse than that at the open.
What was it at the open?
It was down in the vicinity of 170 at one point. Okay. And it came all the way back up to about 90 or so negative on the Dow, and then at the very end of the day sold off again. NASDAQ down 33 points, S&P down 16 points. You know, so fairly significant moves there, but...
It's right at 1%.
Yeah, and I will say this, when I was watching the market on Friday morning, even though... Friday the market was closed, we had a big piece of news come out,
right,
which was the unemployment number. And although the unemployment rate dropped to 8.2%, we were looking for about 205,000 jobs to be created. We got about 120,000. So I thought that today would be much worse than
it was. I was expecting it to be a lot worse. So I think the reason, and you can share your thoughts, Scott, what I was thinking about as I was looking at the market's performance, I'm thinking, I think there's enough people that are hoping for it to rain a little harder so that we'll get some more QE. So we'll get some more of the government's bond buying. And so people are betting that, the market will inflate because of that, that gold will go up, that treasuries will go down, that the dollar will fall. All of those are results of the, if the Fed did go through with that program.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week in that line exactly, because we have something like 9 separate speeches this week alone from Fed governors.
How many are there? 12?
I think there are 17.
17, okay.
I think so.
Okay.
And we get something like 9 speeches this week, so we're going to get a lot of insight as to who is for QE, who is not for QE.
Who was for QE before they were against it?
That's right. I mean, how strong their convictions are. So it's going to be a very interesting week as far as Fed watching goes. Getting back to the unemployment rate, 120,000 jobs. It was interesting to me that the worst number that we get comes on the day that the markets close. And not only did we get a bad number for this month, but they revised not only February's number, but also January's number. So it was almost like, well, let's just pencil whip this thing into shape so we can at least get the unemployment rate to go down from 8.3% to 8.2%. And since the market's not closed, it's not going to be a catastrophic event no matter what we do.
It does sound conspiratorial. It really does. I mean, there's nobody behind the curtain moving levers here, but it does seem rather odd.
Yeah, I thought it was very odd. On top of that, participation rate is down 0.1%. Participation rate down to 63.8%. What that means is that basically everybody between the ages of 16 and 64 who is not a student or in jail or retired or a homemaker, all of those people, you take a percentage of those who are either have a job or who are looking for a job, and that's the participation rate. Current rate, 63.8. A normal economy participation rate is about 67.
Well, they're part of the. I got a report from CNN Money, and they tried to put a really positive spin on this. Okay, and they tried really hard. Let me see if I've got the author. I had to cut and paste. I'll have to find it, but they had a report out. They talked to, and it was blah blah blah. You know, it went from down to 8.2 from 8.3, but it was discounted by the fact that there were 333,000 that dropped out of the market.
That's right.
So there you go. That's not good news. It's not good news that 333,000 people gave up looking for a job.
Yeah. Now, they may have gone to school. You know, they may have enrolled in school to retrain themselves or something of that nature. But a 63.8% participation rate is not positive. Although, keep in mind that in August, the unemployment rate was 9.1%. So I do think we are slowly, in fits and starts, going in the right direction. But it's so slow, David. It's just going to... We're going to be talking about
this.
It's going
to drive you bonkers, I think, before it's. We're going to put you. You're going to have to go in for some therapy before this is all over.
I might. We're just going to be talking about this.
Or forever. Give you a day off to play golf or something.
That would be
I don't
terrific.
Know.
Maybe a day off a week would really help my frame of mind. Let's.
I bet it would.
We'll push that right through HR.
Well, I tell you what. If you could get the unemployment down to say I don't know 5%, then we'd probably have enough. We could take up a collection.
Okay.
To make that happen.
Record this.
Well, you know what's funny, Scott, is the real number that everybody like some people like to talk about, and I think is relevant. Is the underemployment rate. And that includes not just jobless people, but also people that are part-time who are looking for full-time or discouraged job seekers. Those are the folks that gave up.
Or MBAs who are brewing coffee and stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly. So that number fell down to 14.5%. But that's still a huge number. It's a big number.
It's still a very huge number. And some of those people may have just left the workforce since the participation rate went down.
Say I give up.
Yeah.
Uncle.
Yeah. Why am I killing myself for nothing?
Well, there's no reason to kill yourself for nothing. All right, but we do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
We're back. And I don't know, Lisa, you think we should break it down a little bit?
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
You still need me, Lisa. You still need me. Every day, Lisa says, okay, ready? I'm going to do Finglish when we come back from break. I say, okay, do it. And then we come back from break. Lisa looks at me like, all right, we're ready. All right.
It's like a machine.
What else you got? I got a few things that I get your comments on. Since you weren't here to talk to, I went through withdrawal, man. I got a stack of stuff for you. Look how high it is over here.
I know. It's high. There were just a handful of major media companies off on Monday. Citigroup came out and slashed ratings on CBS, Discovery, Disney, and News Corp to neutral from a buy. Now, why this is important is a little bit beyond me. Citigroup, as a bank, they're having a hard time keeping the doors open, and they come out and they want to wag their fingers at companies because their earnings might be a little bit soft is kind of odd to me.
But I was just thinking that as you were talking about it, going, you know, what about their ratings? This is the kettle calling the pot black.
Yeah, so media companies off on Monday's trade. A couple of interesting mergers and acquisitions things I wanted to tell you about. AT&T has decided they're going to sell the Yellow Pages.
Say it's not so.
I didn't know there were still Yellow Pages.
Ma Bell is getting rid of the Yellow Pages?
Yeah, you know,
really?
The one that shows up on your doorstep?
I get mine, and you know, I can't wait because I want to see what kind of magnets on the front of it that I can put on my refrigerator. I
mean, it's got to be such an incredible waste of paper. AT&T is selling to Cerberus Capital, which is a private equity firm, for about $950 million in cash and debt, the entire Yellow Pages name. Cerberus says that they're not really interested in continuing to print Yellow Pages. They're going to explore new avenues of online and mobile growth.
Okay, so there's still value there.
I guess so.
Come on,
don't
Scott.
We already have all that stuff already?
Yeah, but you know, I like the Yellow Pages. I do.
I pull up around me and I'm good to go.
All right.
Also in social media, Facebook announced they're going to buy Instagram for $1 billion. Instagram is, I have had it described to me as the Twitter of photography.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about it, so I must be getting old and the technology is growing faster than I can handle.
I'm with you, and I have to read this stuff to understand even a little bit of it. But Facebook is buying basically the photo sharing engine that is Instagram. Now, Instagram was founded by two Stanford graduates who graduated in 2010, if you want to feel extra old.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, and they sold their company to $1 billion to Facebook in cash and stock. So good.
Well, before
for
you
them.
Leave that, so let me get this straight, okay?
I want to tell you before you go through the whole thing, I do want to tell you that the company currently has no revenue. Go ahead.
Oh my God. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was only going to draw the distinction that let me get this straight. The real Yellow Pages sells for almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
And this is this Instagram, which is where you tweet your picture.
Yeah.
With
Facebook.
No revenue, yeah. Right. Sells for the same $1 billion.
Right.
No, talk about new technology, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe they could tweet the phone book.
They
take a picture
could.
Of it and
yeah.
tweet it and send it around.
They probably could. I'll tell you that we spent the weekend in Daytona Shores this weekend, and I used my iPhone to find restaurants. I just pull up this little Around Me thing, and it shows you where the restaurants are or where you can get a nice breakfast, and it was incredibly handy.
Thank you for your contribution to the greater Daytona Beach
I
area
did my
market.
Part. I absolutely did. Also wanted to tell you that AOL... who really seems to be having a hard time keeping up with the times, has sold about 800 patents to Microsoft.
It's never a good sign when you sell your patents.
Yeah, because that really is, that is their...
lifeblood.
Yeah, that's the asset that they have in the bank is their patents. So AOL shares up almost 45% on Monday as they're collecting about $1.1 billion from Microsoft for patents. Most of the patents weren't specific as to what they were, but it's mostly advertising and webmail technology.
Okay. I don't get that. Weren't they? Now, they were tied to Time Warner for a while, right?
Right.
And then they got spun off and IPO'd, not IPO, but
right.
Yeah, I guess.
And then they bought the Huffington Post for an enormous amount of money.
AOL or Time Warner?
AOL.
Okay. Oh, they did. Oh, I didn't know about that one. Okay. And then what?
And now they seem to be dismantling
themselves.
Are they making
any money?
No, if they were making money, they would keep their patents.
That's weird. Okay.
They just didn't keep up. I mean, if you tell people that you can Google me, right? Go ahead and Google this, go ahead and Google that. Nobody says go ahead and AOL this or AOL that.
You've got mail.
Yeah, but nobody does that anymore either. I mean, it's just so everybody's...
My wife still has an AOL account.
Does she really?
Yeah, and I hear it, and every now and then she'll do the I got the mail thing. And I look on her phone because, you can connect it to your phone, and she has like 50 messages. I'm like, you're going to read those? But she loves her AOL account. A lot of people, there are people that really stick with that technology.
Well, I guess there are people that
stick with... Not everybody's fancy like you doing all this tweeting, Scott.
Yeah. I guess people stick with the Yellow Pages too, so there you go. That's everything I have today.
That's all you got? Well, how about this? Are you going to flash me? What do you got there? Eric comes to flash. Lisa's flashing me with the 5-second warning. All right. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about some consumer debt, Scott.
All right.
All right. Stick around for that. And then I have to do what I usually do. I have to correct the record on some tax issues. So stay tuned for some good, pithy comments regarding that.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right, Scott, I asked Scott to stay after school to discuss his consumer credit. Look at you looking, trying to see my paper again.
I know.
You can't stand it. It drives you crazy. Well, all right, Scott, I'm going to talk to you about U.S. borrowing on credit cards, and then I'm going to talk to you about this nonsense I saw in the paper about the Obama and Democrats wanting to push the Buffett rule again.
All right.
Okay, so that's your.
They love that Buffett rule.
They love it. It's silly. All right, let me talk about that. Let me get to the good stuff. Well, I'll get to the consumer, a little bit more boring stuff, then we'll get to the funny stuff. All right, so consumer borrowing's up. We all know that because the economy's starting to be better. But people are really holding on to not doing a lot with credit cards. Let's see here. Where was it? It was $1 trillion in student loans. You see that?
Yeah.
I mean, a big number. So people are going back to school. People are getting their education. People are using a lot of cash, though, to keep their debt under control. They're doing auto loans. They're doing the student loans. So they're going to school. They're getting a new car. Or they're replacing the old car, but they're really reluctant to do anything with credit cards. And the credit card consumers carried $800 billion in credit card debt in February, which is 15% less than what they had in December of 07.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, I mean, you know, it's always easier to adjust your discretionary spending. So if you just use your credit cards for discretionary spending, not for keep your fixed expenses low, and maybe that's what people are doing. It sounds responsible.
I think it's very responsible, and I'm glad to see it. Okay, so not responsible is what I see in the paper. This one is in USA Today, and of course, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, I've taken on the awesome responsibility of correcting nonsense that I see in the paper. Here it is. I'll just read it straight to you. President Obama and other Democrats will spend this week, probably next several months, advocating their higher taxes on the wealthy. Their vehicle, the Buffett Rule. Named for the billionaire investor Warren Buffett, who protests his pay. He pays a lower rate than his secretary. The rule requires those that are millionaires, people that make at least $1 million a year, pay at least 30% on their income tax. Obama said the rule is central. Here it comes, ready? Central to, where is it? Part of his speech. And the proposal is, quote unquote, a simple principle for fairness that ensures that millionaires pay at least the same effective tax rate as middle class families pay. So wrong. You know, nobody wants to use the word L, the L word, lie. It's an outright lie, or is somebody's got severe fact-checking problems, because in order to have a 30% effective tax bracket, these so-called middle-class families would have to make $700,000 a year.
That is beyond middle class.
Yeah, middle-class families don't make $700,000. There's only about 2 or 3% of the population that makes over $700,000.
Yeah, so what is an average effective tax rate? 15, 18, something like that?
Not even that. I mean, I've run the numbers, and the average is down. It's single digits, maybe 10, 11%. So it's a lie. It's wrong. It's not true. And they keep pushing this bull. And it's crazy. It's just baloney. So I'm calling them out, and I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is hogwash. When you read this in the paper, it's just baloney. It's not true. If people are saying, oh, Romney only pays 15%. Good. Let's all pay 15%. Let's all pay 15 and be done. Give her all the deductions, and let's just all pay 15 and stop messing with it. There you go. I think it's crazy.
And that's a movement from your position of 10%.
I'm willing to go up.
Yep.
If we all go up. They keep throwing around this word fairness, and I'm tired of seeing it. You know, fair is what my kids will tell you, 10, 8, and 7. Everybody gets the same scoop. If two of them get dessert, the third one wants dessert too. If two people get two scoops of ice cream, the other one wants two scoops of ice cream too. That's fair.
Yeah.
Fair is not gouging somebody because they make more money. They're already paying. Somebody making $300,000 or somebody making $30,000 is already paying 10 times the tax. Anyway, it's silly. 15% for everybody. But now, something else on the horizon. Tell me what you think of this, Scott. Dividend tax hike.
Yeah.
Here it comes. Okay.
Yeah, this is worrisome.
This is a serious issue. If the people that we elected to run the country, whom we are paying, well, the senators and representatives make, it's over $100,000.
Yeah.
Senators, I think, are making $160,000, $170,000, $180,000.
And a pension.
Plus some very nice pensions. Very nice pension.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't get a pension just anywhere.
No. They've got special pensions. But these are the folks that we hired, and Mr. Obama, too. We hired him to do a job, and they need to get their act together, because if they don't get the tax law fixed, it's going to kill the market.
Yeah. A tax on dividends would undoubtedly have a negative effect
on the
market.
Because what we're staring down the long rifle here is that tax rates could hit 43-44% on dividends come January 1st, 2013.
Yeah, that would absolutely cripple markets. And boy, would that cause an unbelievable move in municipal bonds, even though that market has already moved. Can you imagine? You can either get 3% on a dividend at 40% tax, or you can get 2.2% on a municipal at no tax.
It would be horrendous. It's
market shifts.
Yeah, it's like the little, I know I'm going long, Lisa, bear with me. I got a great analogy. It's like the little country town that has one school and they got one basketball, and kid was walking home. Another kid's going to school. Where are you going? There's no point in going to school today. Let somebody the air out of the basketball. There ain't no point in going. Yeah. The game's over.
That's right.
It's just silly. So you want to kill the market. I mean, because here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why I'm riled up about it, and while Scott's got his I'm disgusted look on his face, okay? This is why. The stock market is, the value of stocks is representative of what investors expect to get. What do they expect to get? Dividends, earnings, all of those things have to be taxed. So it's not what you get, it's what they actually keep that they're thinking about. So the taxes come into play. So you tell somebody who's a stock market investor, you only get to keep 60 cents on the dollar instead of maybe 75 or 80 cents on the dollar or 85 cents on the dollar, it's going to affect the market. We might see a 20, 30% sell-off.
Not to mention that Fed policy has caused bond interest rates to be so low that a number of investors have found that the only place that they can generate the appropriate amount of income for themselves is in the stock market through dividends.
You know, I used to say first and 10, 10% off the top for everybody, you know, using the football analogy, first and 10. But I'm willing to go first and 15 because we've got some making up to do.
We do.
We've
no
had
doubt.
Some penalties. We've had, what personal foul? How many for
15?
A personal foul? Okay, well, what's offsides? That's 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all offsides. And so we need to make that up, plus get a first down.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. We're fired up. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll share some other stuff. I'm going to come back and talk to you today about the retirement income solution, the so-called 4% solution, and tell you what's wrong with it and how to do better than that. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
I'm really not that caffeinated, folks. I'm really not. I'm just wound up. I'm excited. And I'm trying to share with you what I see here. And I think some of this stuff is a bit crazy. And you know what? We need things to be simple. We don't need them to be complicated. Just give us a 15% tax bracket and be done with it. All right. And no games, no tricks, no deductions, just 15% off the top. All right. Now, here's the deal. Here's your warning for today. And if you are retired, I'm talking to you. If you're thinking about retiring, I'm talking to you. Did that leave anybody out? That's everybody. So here's the deal. There's been these rules that have been around for years. You can take 4% of your money out every year and there's no problems when you retire. Well, I don't know if I buy that. And a lot of people are starting to call that into question. There's some, and I've got two articles I'm looking at. It's pretty funny. I got one from MarketWatch. I got one from CNN Money. And they both have things I'm like, nope, that's not true. Nope, that's not true. They both have things that I don't agree with. And then I called into question. But here's the bottom line. There is this so-called 4% rule where you can take 4% out of your money when you retire and you never run out. Or there's a really good chance you want to run out. Well, let's start right there. Do you really want to retire with your bet being, you know, there's a pretty good chance. You got a pretty good chance not running out of money. I think that's really lame. I think it should be much more certain than that, that there should be a high degree of reliability built into your retirement plan. And I can tell you from doing this planning for hundreds of people, okay, I've worked with a lot of people, that you can make your retirement much more certain. So if you're going, you know, CD rates are 1% for 5 years. I hear inflation is going to be 3%. I'm going to lose 2% if I lock my money up in a CD. You're exactly right. I don't think investing in CDs right now is a good idea at all. I mean, except for maybe some emergency money. Now, if you are still holding on to some of those longer term CDs, I know they're going to come due. And when they come due, you need to ask yourself a question. Do you feel lucky, do you? I mean, don't you feel like a punk that you're going to get 1% CD rate? So there are other choices, but this 4% rule, you know, it's really being called into question. But I wouldn't go into anything where it's like, oh, you know, we think we can keep you retired. We need more certainty to that. And all you have to do is run a stock portfolio through the last 10 years or so, and you'll see that your portfolio will be worth 20% of what it was when you started trying to follow these 4 to 6% withdrawal rules. So they leave a lot to be desired. So rules are, well, they're just rules of thumb. They're just ideas. They're just things that you can look at. To me, I think a lot of it is propaganda to try to keep you invested and to keep you playing the game, to keep you in the game. Free drinks while you're playing poker and you're betting your money. No clocks on the walls either, right? We don't want to know when it's time to go. So I think the better way to go here, and you know what I'm going to say, ready? Here it comes. Build a plan. Build a financial plan that gives you a lot more certainty. You know where you're going to get your income and you know how much potential risk there is to what you're doing. When was the last time you actually looked at your portfolio or talked to the person, if you have a portfolio and somebody's managing it for you, when's the last time you really got in there and took a look at what's going on? You got to make sure that you've got your money situated. If some of the stuff Scott and I were talking about before the break, where they do something really foolish in Washington, and hey, look, what's the thing I say sometimes? Prior performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. Actual results can and will vary. Well, some of the foolishness in Washington would give me the belief, some of the things that's gone on, some of the things that have been set up on Washington, I don't have a lot of confidence they're going to fix this. And I can just see them causing us to have a 43% bracket for people getting dividends, and it's going to just crush the market. You know, Friday's market dropping 1%, well, or Monday's dropping 1% after Friday's labor numbers. I don't like to see any losses, but it's 1%. But we see some of this stuff that's out there that can play out. You see some of the labor market not come back. We're only looking at 120,000 jobs created for February, or for, was it for March? But you know, the point is this: the slow economic growth, the market is building in some assumptions that the jobs are going to continue to add and the economic growth is going to go on. If it doesn't, we could see a pretty significant pullback. So ask yourself this: what if the market drops 10%? Are you prepared for that? How will your portfolio respond? How will your financial advisor respond? What will you do? You need to make sure you're ready for that, because it can come, and I hope it doesn't, but you need to be prepared. All right. We're out of time, Lisa. Not done? One more segment. All right. Very good. I got a little bit more time for you today. I've got one more thing that I want to share with you. We'll come right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
All right, we're back. As promised, one more good thing for you before I let you go today. I saw an article in Wall Street Journal about retirement and couples trying to get on the same page about when they're going to retire. And it was interesting. Only like 20% of couples actually retire at the same time. Boy, talk about creating an environment where you could have some marital strife or trouble between couples and partners and people that are in relationships. And so the thing that struck me about it is a number of people I've met with and how I've seen some things play out. So here's what I want to tell you. I'll talk to the men, then I'll talk to the women. Men, you need, if your wife is not involved, and I'm only addressing this because I see this, if your wife is not involved with the finances, she needs to get involved. You want to know that she knows what the plan is. Because if you're not here, then you want to make sure she knows what to do. I've had more women tell me that they want to be more involved and know what's going on. I always insist that husband and wife both come in. And they just need to understand, because if they don't know what's going on, guess what? There's a high percentage of women who find a different advisor when their husband passes. So guess what? They're not involved. She may be taking the plan and upsetting it and changing it to the good or the bad. And women, one of the things that's very important is if you're not really tuned in, please get tuned in. Now, there's a lot of women who handle the finances and men that don't. But I need both people need to be involved in the process, and because it'll make it so much easier to understand what's happening, to balance your risk tolerances and what you're comfortable with. I've seen men or women, one of them be more conservative, one be more aggressive. Just get on the same page just in case. And women, sometimes it's you that go first. So he needs to know what's going on. It's a new world, and we're all involved, and we all need to be engaged in the financial planning and retirement planning process. All right, there you go. That's my soapbox for today. Tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.